Welcome, everybody. Our coaching calls do not have an agenda or an itinerary. This is completely up to you guys. Q&A, you do not have to email me questions prior. So don't be shy. Feel free to unmute yourself and jump right in. I will turn it over to you guys, and I'm going to start my little timer here for my notes. So what is going on? Questions, concerns?
Hey, Sarah, I had a quick question. Emily Rose, I'm in San Diego, just for everybody's information. You said the written modules and things. I feel like I'm missing some of that information. Maybe we can do it towards the end or something, but I feel like I want to make sure I get all the information and don't miss something, but I don't have that information, or it's not familiar with, I haven't seen where to find that stuff.
Okay, so Emily, did you signed up through Good Dog, right?
Correct, yes, correct.
Okay, so for you, that is going to be, hold on, I'm going to find the direct link here. If you go on gooddog.com, and then it's going to ask you to sign in, and you can even do a search for, let's see, I'm trying to remember where exactly on the homepage. Back. It's going to be under Learning Center. So on the top of the web page, Learning Center. If you click on that, then there is going to be a bunch of topics, and one is going to be for puppy owners, and that is going to take you to all those modules, okay? It's also going to take you to the links for where to get coaching, how to get coaching, and the way it's organized right now is that on the Good Dog page, it's basically like planning ahead for getting your puppy, puppy's first day, puppy's first week, and then there's some other modules in there. With the Good Dog portion of the puppy program, just a reminder and heads up that this transition between Avidog and Good Dog is still ongoing. And so some of the, so for people like Caroline, you're still accessing your modules through the Avidog portion of things. And so for right now, there are more written modules on the Avidog Puppy College side. And we are in the process of constantly adding to the Good Dog Puppy Program side of things. So there will be more written modules added in as that goes. So hopefully that helps, Emily. Yep. Okay. All right.
Awesome. Thank you. I don't know if anybody has any specific puppy questions, but I know I have a couple real quick. My puppy, who happens to be sleeping right now, of course, is the perfect angel when she's asleep. Sometimes she gets real sassy, and I don't know if it's the right word, but you know, she's barks at us, and then of course is just trying to bite and just really not wanting anything to do with a toy that we try to put in her mouth. All of the things that we're trying to do to help her calm down, or she's grabbing the carpet, doing the things that she knows she's not supposed to do, but she's testing the limits, it feels like. Are we supposed to say no, or, you know, how are we supposed to, you know, get the carpet out of her mouth, or get the sock out of her mouth, or, you know, do these things and have her not, get real angry with us, but also teach her the right thing?
Okay. So a couple responses to that. You will hear this phrase commonly as you participate in other coaching calls. So I know that Caroline's probably going to start giggling, but puppies have what we lovingly call a witching hour. And so it's kind of like gremlins, don't feed them after midnight kind of thing. They turn into a whole different animal. So puppies do have a witching hour. It's the same thing with human toddlers as well, where there are points in time during the day where they are just physiologically so tired and so overstimulated that it's almost like biologically they cannot behave. They cannot contain themselves. And there's nothing we can do about it. So you will kind of see most puppies, it's kind of late afternoon, right before dinner, but there is no hard and fast rule on that. But you're going to start to see a pattern as you start to learn your puppy a little bit better and they start to learn you and your routines a little better. And when you kind of are sensing we're heading into a witching hour, just be prepared. And it's okay. During those times, go ahead, put them in their crate, put them in their X pen, give them toys, maybe even give them a smeared Kong so that we're setting them up to self-soothe and self-entertain. And chances are, yes, they might fuss at first and be frustrated, but I bet you within 5 minutes, they're going to be out and taking a necessary nap. Okay. So that's the first reminder for everybody. The other thing is that the word no is often fairly overrated. What happens when we are just, you know, parroting off to our puppy, no, stop it, knock it off. We're getting more frustrated, which unfortunately, puppy just reads as emotion and excitement, and it can actually increase their arousal level. And they're not learning anything from it. We are just doing a chatterbox, no, uh-uh. And it's kind of like, remember the old Charlie Brown cartoons when the adults were talking and it was just wah, 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 wah. That's all you could hear. If we're doing a lot of ineffective talking to our dogs, that's essentially what it becomes, a waste of our breath. So when you are having really sassy, naughty behavior and we're doing our best to redirect so that we can teach puppy chewing on the carpet, chewing on our hands is not acceptable. That's when we recommend using some tactics like the tagline. And that's going to be in your modules. There's a video to go along with it. But the beauty of some of those redirections is we are very quiet. And it's just simple cause and effect for the puppy so that what they're essentially learning is pretty black and white of you behave like this and you don't get interaction. It's pretty boring. It's not worth your while. So we're not spending all this time in interaction trying to redirect them, which unfortunately ends up being them getting a lot of attention. And then we're, you know, unfortunately reinforcing the behaviors we don't want. So I would say go ahead and find the module on taglines. And there is also a video that I posted on the Facebook page of a puppy from my last litter that was particularly mouthy. And it's a good 3-minute video of me just doing tagline with him. That one might be helpful for you to also watch in addition to the module. The video that's in conjunction with taglines in the module, we kind of laughed because it was a very kind of soft and compliant golden retriever puppy. So in that video, he got one tagline correction and said, okay, I get it. I'm not going to chew on that anymore. Which in real life, most puppies are going to need way more than one tagline correction or redirection to get the joke. Okay. So I would say, try both of those and just remember that, yes, there is a witching hour. Okay.
Thank you. That's great.
Hello. I have a quick question. So sometimes the dog is being very obstinate. And so she wants to go one direction. It may be a direction where there might be danger if we're outside, or she doesn't want to go to her bed and all of that. And so is it just better to just pick them up and go, or kind of like struggle with them until they eventually comply?
Okay. So are you talking, Monica, with like times that they're on leash specifically?
On leash.
Okay. So, and how old is puppy?
She'll be 6 months at the end of this month.
Okay. So at that point, I would say that when we've got itty bitty baby puppies and it's the first month of them being home with us, yes, sometimes it's just easier to pick them up.
Okay. So she's been in the home since October.
Yeah. So at that point, at 6 months, most likely we're at a different developmental period. So you're going to want to take a different approach, because at 6 months, now we are entering adolescence, and it is pretty normal for puppies to turn into teenagers and start testing us on everything. Just, hey, do the same rules still apply? I don't know. Let's find out. So that is going to be a different developmental period than, you know, these puppies that are 8 to 12 weeks old. And it's that first month we have them home. So for in your case, when we're kind of entering that adolescence, so we're just testing everything, then I would just go back and kind of do some refresher training. A lot of times this is going to happen in your house where distractions are low. So that we're just reinforcing the idea to her that, hey, you know what? Paying attention and following through on requests I make of you are worth your while. Versus outside, where we're going to have more distractions and, you know, more stimuli that's really going to be sucking in their attention. Mm-hmm. And so I would not be picking her up. The reason being is that 6 months, if we're just picking them up, that's managing a situation or a behavior. She's not necessarily learning anything because she's not making a choice on her own. And at 6 months, we want her to start learning on her own. So for those times, you know, if it's a potty break outside or a leash walk outside, do still have treats in your pocket. It's okay. Some high value treats, so that even if you're just saying her name, we should see that little head turn around, because their names mean, hey, you, something else is coming. And the something else is coming could be very worth your while. So start off with easy things like that, of just being outside, even in your front driveway or your backyard. Say your puppy's name. If her little head swivels towards you, mark or treat. So yes, or click. And then yes, you get a treat and give her some praise. So that, again, she's kind of being reminded of, okay, paying attention to my people is worth my while. Okay?
Okay, great. Because it's been worse since Thanksgiving, because we had a lot of people over. And I think, yeah, she's testing boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of us are having that after the holidays, because the schedule wasn't, you know, our routines were not how they are normally, and we've had a lot of people in the house as well who might not have been following all your household rules in regards to puppy. So now it's kind of, for everybody, is kind of a reset button for us. Okay, back to work, back to our normal schedule, and for our dogs. Okay, so you're not alone in that.
Thank you.
All right, quick writing a note about that. All right, what else is going on?
All right, Sarah, I have a question.
Yes.
When I first got my puppy, she's 10 weeks now, so I've had her 2 weeks. And when I put her in the crate, she screamed. I've never heard a noise like that come out of a dog before. And we're slowly trying to get her used to the crate, putting her food in there when she eats. But as soon as we get her in the crate and we try to watch, she starts howling, screaming. What else can I do?
Okay. So does she sleep in a crate overnight successfully?
No, I put her in the crate. She was screaming some. Now she sleeps in bed with me.
Oh, okay.
He taught me.
Well, okay. So this is going to be the rule that I kind of have in our house is nobody sleeps in our bed until they're at least 6 months old. Part of that being that they're not house trained, and it is very easy for them to just go to the foot of your bed potty, or to jump off the bed and go somewhere in your bedroom and potty, or to destroy something, chew on something and hurt your property, damage your property, and potentially cause themselves some injury as well. So because she's kind of gotten her way, ripping this Band-Aid off is going to be a little bit harder. So have you read through any of the crate training modules?
No, I didn't know they existed. I will go look through them. Good dog, right?
Yep. Gooddog.com. Okay. Yep. Okay. So that is going to give you specific steps on how you are going to work on crate training. Because dogs, yes, they are kind of denning animals instinctually, but they're also pack animals. They want to be with us. They would prefer that. And so learning to be calm and confident in a crate is a very important skill for them to learn, because it's also teaching them to be independent and to self-soothe, that they don't always have to be touching us, an umbilical cord attached to us, all those things. So eventually what you're going to get is that we want to see dogs seeing their crate as their safe space. It's kind of like their bedroom. And we all have this ourselves of, where is a space that you go that's kind of your zen place, that you can decompress, that you can recharge, and that you can kind of tune out and just calm down? We all have that.
Yeah.
That's what the crate is for our dogs. But we have to help them learn those associations. That part doesn't come naturally. So your crate training modules are going to give you specific steps.
Okay.
And the one little extra explanation that I will give with the crate training modules is that you kind of need to think about it in two separate ways. There are going to be times where we just need to put puppy in a crate for their own safety, because we can't supervise. So if it's, we're on a work call, we're going to the grocery store, or overnights, those are the times where technically, are our dogs crate trained yet? No, but we do need to use a crate or an X pen, right? Then on the flip side, every single day, we are going to have several short. We want to keep them short because we want to keep the dogs wanting more and keep it positive. So like 3 times 5 minutes a day of structured crate training sessions. And that's what you're going to apply those modules to.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
And you're going to find other little tips and tricks in the crate training. So to rip this Band-Aid off so that she can sleep safely in a crate at night, initially you might want to have the crate on a chair next to your bed so that you can put your fingers in. Other things that can help is that you can get a snuggle puppy. These are plushy toys. You have one. Excellent.
Yeah. Didn't work though.
Okay. And she's screaming. Well, it can help. It doesn't necessarily solve it. So she is just word warning. She is going to pitch a fit because she's been in your bed, and that is more tempting. That is more comfortable.
Yeah.
But having crate like on a chair so that you can stick your fingers in. And the other thing that you'll be reading in the crate training modules is that a cover, a sheet, an opaque sheet to cover the crate. So it's when we start to fuss, guess what? Cover goes down. You get no visual stimuli. When you're quiet, cover comes up. So there again, clear cause and effect. And having the cover over them eliminates all the visual, you know, stimuli. That also helps them settle as well. It's a lot like,
Can I do that today as well? Those 3 sessions under the crate. Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing that you're going to read in the crate training modules is you do the cover. And if we're still squawking and pitching a little temper tantrum, then you are going to do a little earthquake. And what that means is you just have your fingers kind of inside the crate or on top of the crate, and you just rock it a little bit. So we're not doing it so much that the puppy is panicked. We're just doing it enough to kind of get their attention. It's going to distract them momentarily so that hopefully they shut their mouths. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And there again, they're going to see that cause and effect of, oh, I start having a temper tantrum, the cover goes down, and also then my crate does this. I don't think it's worth my while. And of course, when our puppies are making noise in the crate, we need to make sure we've got that little checklist. Do they need to go potty? Especially with your baby only being 10 weeks old. Make sure you've had a successful potty break outside before it's time for crate training, before it's time to be in a crate.
Okay.
If we are suspicious that we do have a real legitimate need to potty, at that point, you want to go to the crate, and you can usually distract them in some way that momentarily, again, they will be quiet. So that's your chance to get them out of the crate when they are momentarily quiet, because we don't want to be letting puppies out of the crate when they are in the middle of a howl, a yowl, et cetera, because otherwise, what are we doing? We're reinforcing. Yep. Because otherwise, we learn very quickly that if I scream in here, somebody comes running and they let me out. No,
not what we want. Wrong message. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, settle.
Hi, I'm George. I'm a newbie here today.
Hi.
So I've got a 9-week old, about to be 10. So he's been home about 2 weeks. I'd say my number one issue that I'll start with is the backyard. You know, we went ahead and got a new gate for it so we could play in the backyard and be fenced in. Unfortunately, we have along the border of the lawn, there's a lot of gardening and, that seems to be the number one draw, is to, basically, try to destroy everything that we planted the last few years. And there's one plant particularly likes to rip to shreds. So I've tried distracting him. I like to give him free rein to run around, you know, but the first thing he does is always go to the places I don't, you know, want him to, of course. So I don't know. I've tried toys and stuff. But then the ball ends up always rolling into the garden part. And then he'll, you know, so there's no way, I don't know. So I think I get frustrated as you're talking about the staying calm. I probably am easily to read frustrated at that moment, as calm as I'm trying to be. So I don't know. I was looking into barriers or, you know, a vibrating collar. Like, I don't want to do a shock collar. I don't know if I'm invisible fence. I don't know, something. I wonder if you have any thoughts.
Absolutely. Okay. So, a reminder for everybody that when we do take our puppies out, when they are under 6 months of old and we are in the throes of major potty training as being the priority, we should always be taking puppy out on a leash.
Okay. Right. Yeah. He has the leash.
Good.
Yes. Okay.
And so,
I kind of hold the leash while he goes potty. And then after that, sometimes I let him run around.
Perfect. Good.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to hear, because it's the sequence that we want.
Right.
So basically, you've got the leash on until puppy does their chores. And then they get to be off leash, because then they earned a little bit of playtime, a little bit of freedom. So perfect. You've got the great sequence with that. So as far as the particular, the garden area, there are a couple inexpensive temporary things that you can do to kind of barrier and prevent puppy from going in there. So one is actually, you go to they usually don't have it at Lowe's or Home Depot, but they usually will have it like at a farm store, like a farm complete or a tractor supply. And it's called rabbit fencing. And so it comes in rolls, and you can just get wooden dowels or stakes and then kind of make a little perimeter. Mm-hmm. So that is going to help puppy not only preventing, managing, keeping mm-hmm. them out of there, but it's also going to be a visual barrier so that eventually mm-hmm. as some maturity happens next right. year, that you can start to make that fence smaller, uh-huh. roll it up smaller, uh-huh. and then hopefully eventually that it's gone completely. Okay. So yeah. that's one thing that I would try. And the other thing is, what breed do you have?
This is a golden doodle.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So one thing that you can also be trying, because of course our sporting breeds, goldens and doodles, they love fetch. They love
uh-huh, their bubbles. Right.
They love to play retrieve. Mm-hmm. But when you are outside with him, you can actually be getting some different toys where mm-hmm. it's more interaction with you versus mm-hmm.
right, right.
on his own.
Right.
So, some ideas to kind of think out of the box mm-hmm. With toys are going to be, you can get like something to play tug with him.
Right, right. So, yeah, he loves that.
Good. And mm-hmm. my one tip with that is, this is going to look ridiculous, but when okay. I'm playing tug with my dogs and especially young puppies, that eye to mouth coordination is not so good yet.
Right.
And what we tend to do when we're playing tug, especially with our baby puppies, is we get these cute little itty bitty toys mm-hmm. that are this big. By the time mm-hmm. we put our hand on one end, puppy only has like 4 inches left.
Right. Right. Right.
It's going to be yes. easy. Right. So when yes. I'm playing tug with my dogs, I mean, mm-hmm. this yeah, is okay. insanely long ones.
Right, right.
Get something that's long.
Okay, okay.
And you can even make ones, like go to some craft mm-hmm. store and get remnants of fleece. You can mm-hmm. break them, tie knots on the end, voila. Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
So playing tug would be an option where you're not constantly trying to get his attention away mm-hmm. from the garden.
Right.
He's just going to be engaged with you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Much more fun.
Right.
Another option would be some of the interactive food or treat dispensing toys. Mm-hmm. So there are snuffle mats, there are, you know, Buster cubes where you can just put pieces of his kibble in there.
Right, right.
And you're making sure that that interactive toy is away from the garden.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he gets freaked out by, I had one of those Kong-like things that go back and forth that had the hole in it. And he it is his nemesis. The only time he does this, he barks. He just kind of flips out with this thing. I think he thinks it's possessed or something.
Well, and you might be tapping into some of his prey drive early on.
Okay. Yeah.
And, right. and so when we see prey drive from our dogs, yes, they kind of do behave uh-huh. differently.
Right.
And it's
maybe I'll try it outside. It's very loud inside the barking.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
And that's another option for you as well, that some of these things that you want to have him really engaged in interacting with you so he doesn't have freedom and start thinking right. about the garden. Keep those toys as special outside only
okay. toys. Okay, right, right, right. Great, yeah.
That is going to help keep kind of their value high of, uh-huh. Oh boy, we only-
Right, this is outside, yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
Right, great.
And another option mm-hmm. you can try is there is a video somewhere on Facebook. I should actually go and look that up and kind of re-tag it. It hasn't come up for a while. But again, you go to some farm store and you go into the equestrian section and you get a lunge whip.
Okay.
So these are intended for horses, right? So it's right. basically like a cat toy with a very long handle.
Huh, and okay.
what you can do on the end of the lunge whip is you can tie a plastic grocery bag on it, put some really nummy, stinky treats in there, like hot dog or sausage. You tie that on the end of the lunge whip, tie your plastic grocery bag, and you can play with your puppy like a giant cat toy. So,
sorry, just checking him out. What are you doing? Come here.
What are you doing, puppy?
Come here.
That is another really fun outside option.
Yeah, and, okay.
And it's a great way for, like with my breed, they don't fetch.
Okay.
And so to try and get rid of some energy, I will do lunge whip with them outside. And it's great because I can be super lazy. I'm just kind of standing in the middle.
Right. I like those toys because he works himself. But as you say, you don't have to do that much.
Exactly.
But he goes crazy.
And with that lunge whip, you know, you let them chase.
Okay.
And when they do catch it, let them go ahead and rip open that bag and they can shake it, kill it dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Puppy prey drive, and they can eat the treat out of the bag.
Right. Okay. Great.
Okay.
Can I ask you, there's some fencing like in pet stores I was looking up, you know, that are more almost like a little, they're pretty low, kind of white. I don't know. I guess you just buy them in sections and just use as many as you need. Do you have any, do you prefer the rabbit fencing to that or?
The rabbit fencing, you're going to need, you know, it's going to be a little bit more setup from you.
Right.
But they tend to be cheaper than the X-Pen panels or the baby gate panels that you buy specifically in pet departments.
Right.
And the other thing is, even with the baby gates that are plastic, they don't wear that well outside.
Okay. Right.
So even the plastic will get brittle. And if they have hinges or et cetera, they dry out, they get brittle, they crack.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much. I'll give this a try and see how he does. But yeah, I feel like we just need to block it off, like just so I don't go crazy. You know, I don't want it because it's becoming like unpleasant to go outside now, which I don't want for me. And I don't want that to be the case, you know, obviously.
Yes. And it sometimes it's just picking your battles.
Right.
And this is one of those situations where, hey, keep it simple. Just make that area not accessible to him.
Exactly.
So you're not going nuts and he's also not getting to repeat it and have become a habit.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We can snuff this out still. He's young enough.
Yes, George, hopefully you can get to the place where you have him dig holes for where you want to put plants. Like,
well, that's
right
true.
Here, this is where I want to put.
Yeah. He has begun the digging process. I don't know what he's digging at, but he's trying to find the center of the earth. But that's a good use. I'll use that for staking.
Okay. Yes, and keep us posted.
I will.
Hi there.
Hey.
This is my first meeting. My name is Leah. Nice to meet you. I have a just about 12-week-old Australian cattle dog. And my question is about morning energy. You know, we have two kids and we're getting ready in the mornings and our dog wakes up and that is when she is the most energetic. She's like raring to go. She wants a ton of attention and, we just don't have the time in that early morning, you know, 6:30 to 7:30 to give her a lot of attention and a lot of exercise. And I don't really want to like send her out into the yard by herself because I feel like she's a little too young for that. And we have an X-Pen in our dining room, which works pretty well most of the time. But in the mornings, I put her in there and she's like, okay. And now every time I can't see you, I'm gonna bark. And I really, really, really want you to notice me. And I can just tell she's like wanting this engagement, and we just don't logistically have the time for it. And so what I've been doing is giving her a stuffed Kong to just occupy her so she's not constantly barking. But I also feel like, am I not addressing my dog's needs by like making time in the mornings for that? Or am I teaching her what the flow of the household is? And I'm wondering, yes, okay. So do you think that in the future, like her exercise needs or her attention needs will more conform to the household? Or do you think I should be doing anything differently?
Nope. So part of it right now is, you know, she's a baby, number one. So she's got crazy energy level of, you know, all puppies are morning people, no matter if you are or aren't. So all puppies are morning people. And that makes sense. So part of that is puppy energy. And part of that is, like you alluded to, she's just starting to learn the routines in your household, right?
Yeah.
So you are dead on. Do not start getting up and the first thing you do is have some big play session, take her to the dog park or take her to, you know, for a long walk. There's another student who is trying to rip this Band-Aid off because they were so sweet and indulgent that they were getting up an hour early every single day and taking their puppies to the dog park. So now it's a habit. And what that has started doing is waking up earlier and earlier and earlier because it wants to get to the dog park faster. Okay. So yes, you're going to have the morning zoomies. And that's okay. Put her in her X pen. One thing that might help is if you can kind of scooch that X pen to a different part of the house, like maybe closer to the kitchen, where all the family activity is.
Yeah.
He can kind of still feel part of the activity and part of the family, even though there's not direct engagement with her. So that might help. But going ahead and giving her a stuffed Kong, giving her a special interactive toy, excellent, because you're setting her up for success and teaching her how to self-soothe and how to entertain herself while still acknowledging that, yes, you do have energy level right now and you would need to play. So perfect. She's in an exit. She's got room to be kind of burning off some of that energy versus if she were in a crate, we want them to think of as this is nap time.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. So, and then go ahead.
Nope. So I was just going to say this will help with her maturing. It's going to settle down, but also her starting to learn your routines in your house. And once the kids are out the door, if you've got, you know, and things are kind of, the day is started. Then at that point, if you can set aside 10 minutes, 5 minutes for a quick little training session, then that would be appropriate. Yes. We often forget that mental exhaustion through a little training session can often burn off more puppy energy than if we took them out for a walk and tried to get rid of physical energy.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Okay. Second part of my question has to do with the barking. Okay. Barking, howling, whining, screeching. So far, our strategy for managing that has been we actively ignore her when she is barking. If we're in the room or if we're out of the room, we wait to go into the room once she has stopped. And then if she stops, we give her a tiny piece of cheese and we say, yes, quiet. And we give her a little pet. Is there anything else we should be doing to move that process forward? Or is it just like a patience game at this point?
So background question for you is, is the barking and whining in conjunction with being in the crate or the X pen?
It's the X pen. It's okay. It happens when someone is in the room, she's super happy, and then they walk out of the room because they've got something going on. And I like the idea of moving the crate, the X pen, so that it's a little bit more visible for her. But she's a barker. She loves the sound of her own voice.
She's a cattle dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's going to be a little bit different because, versus if she were sitting right in front of you and demand barking.
Yes.
Okay. So that's kind of a different reason. And how we approach things with our dogs, we always kind of want to sit and problem solve and think about why are they doing this? Do they have a need? They need to potty. They're hungry. They're thirsty. So do they have a need? Is this fear-based? Is this demanding? Or is this a separation issue, which can be, you know, happening a little bit with our crate training and our X-Pen training when they're young and still learning this? Yes. Okay. So with the barking and the whining in her X-Pen, yes, if you can move that to a different part of the home where she's more kind of involved with the coming and going in the activity, that's probably going to help quite a bit. The other thing that a lot of people will do, for some reason, dogs don't generalize well between their crates and their X-Pens.
Yeah.
A lot of times dogs are more vocal in an X-Pen. So another thing that can help is some people will actually move the crate temporarily or get another crate that they can plunk in the X-Pen, because that way, once we're starting our little howling, whining, barking antics inside the X-Pen, you can go back to those crate training modules and those steps. So we're pitching a little fit in our X-Pen, pick up puppy, pop them gently and calmly in their crate. This is not punishment. You're going to put them in their crate with a stuffed Kong, etc., so they can entertain themselves. You shut the door. If they fuss, you put the crate cover down. If they continue to fuss, then you can do a little earthquake. If those are not working, then unfortunately, yes, you're going to wait them out. But then when they settle down, the cover comes up. They continue.
Good little reward.
Mm-hmm. They continue to be quiet. Okay. Going to unlatch your crate. And now you can play by yourself in the X-Pen again. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's going to give real, really clear cause and effect for puppy of, oh, okay. It's worth my while to be quiet in the X-Pen.
Yeah, there's expectations even when you're in the X-Pen. We're not going to give you attention even if you're barking and acting crazy. Okay, yes, that makes a ton of sense. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Quick writing a note. What else is going on, guys?
In. Okay, I've got a question. Sarah, I also want to say thank you so much. My puppy is now at 16 weeks, and thanks to your advice, we have built a bond. We have potty trained. We are doing really well. And so thank you so much for your support. You're an awesome puppy coach, and thank you so much.
Aw, thank you, Caroline.
I wanted to ask, because now Leo is 16 weeks. He has a brother who's almost 4 years old, both boys, and they get along, but I'm still doing a lot of managing their interactions, in the sense that Leo, the puppy, really, I think, enjoys roughhousing with his brother,
but that it's a zero to jump on the face, a zero to lunge. And I've, you know, trained myself. I've learned a lot about dog body language and what appropriate play looks like. And I do believe that they're playing appropriately. And when I see signs of stress in the older dog or signs of stress in the puppy, I kind of, you know, to your corners, separate them. I've also worked on having them relax together where they both get treats for relaxing. However, it's this bimodal thing where either they understand that they're in formal training relax mode, or they're, you know, they're jumping on each other. And I wish I could find some sort of happy medium. And I'm wondering if there's anything I could be doing to facilitate that. You know, we haven't been able to take 16-week-old puppy off the property yet to do hikes or walks together or other activities with the other dog. I've tried to think of activities they can do together, such as playing with something or doing a puzzle game together. But that also ends up in the puppy sort of jumping on the older dog, and also the older dog sometime instigating it as well. So if there's anything that you recommend that I could do to facilitate them having a happy detente, please let me know.
Okay. So are there times where you're still, because Leo is still young, so you're still supervising, but he's loose and both the dogs are voluntarily choosing to just chill and just kind of be calm in each other's presence?
I do not have that situation.
Okay.
So yeah, I have a variety of locations in the house and outside the house. We have a fenced in dog run as well. And that happens in none of the locations.
Okay. Are they getting a lot of opportunity to be together?
They have times when they're together. They have times when they're apart. They have times when, you know, one dog is at one type of daycare and one dog is at another type of daycare. They have appropriate rest. And they also have, Leo is off, not too much, but often in the X pen, while the older dog Sammy is out and about in the living room. Mm-hmm. We have a dog run where I'll let them play together. It's a large dog run area. And then give them the, you know, always looking for free will, always looking for choice that they want to interact, and giving them the opportunity. For example, the older dog, if he goes into his crate, I, you know, take that as a sign that he's done with puppy. And similarly, you know, I don't see Leo. Does he ever? I don't think he really walks away as much. He's just interested in jumping on his brother and engaging. And even if I kind of use a tagline to not pull up, but just kind of pull him away and try to engage him in something else that's not his brother, he will, pretend to be interested in it and then just do a U-turn right for his brother. So.
Okay. So, but it doesn't sound like they're getting a lot of kind of unstructured time together where they're loose, right?
My husband's here.
Hello. I would say that because of the crate schedule that the puppy's in right now, he has sort of three blocks during the day. Early morning, there's about an hour and a half where he's outside of the crate. And so lunch, he's got about an hour and a half, he's out of the crate. And then evening, he's got, or X pen or whatever. So there's sort of, what we do is we have them play together during each of those sessions. So three times a day, they're in the dog run messing around, or they're in the living room messing around. And I think one of the things that's a little bit challenging is that Leo will immediately pounce, whereas Sammy will pick up a toy and try to engage, like, hey, here's this toy we can play
together.
With.
Yeah.
And Leo just goes, burr. So I think it's the intro part that can be a bit challenging, I think, because once they play, one goes down, one goes up. All the play is very healthy. I think it's that initial interaction and then the continued drive by Leo when Sammy's giving him signs I'm done.
Gotcha.
He's like well, I'm not done.
Yeah, he hasn't necessarily picked up those social cues. We do have him, you know, going to puppy daycare. We have another daycare where he's interacting with puppies and older dogs as well.
Okay. So, all right. So that helps, because I was going to say, if it's just constant playing on Leo's part, part of what might have been happening is that in Leo's mind, Sammy's kind of forbidden fruit. And so when he gets access to him, it's game on.
Yeah.
But I think more of what's happening is Sammy, bless his heart, is not being very overt in his redirects of, you're being a rude puppy and you're being, you know, you're having some pushy, rude dog behavior here. So bless his heart, he's being, you know, maybe a little too tolerant. Yes. And so Leo's not getting it. Dogs always learn best from each other. So I'm surprised that even the other dogs at daycare are not giving more firm and overt corrections to Leo.
They may be.
They do learn best from other dogs.
Yeah, that's a very new. He just started going to older dog daycare this week.
She did say that when the older dogs growl, he gets the message and moves on. So yeah.
And
okay, good.
The forbidden fruit suggestion is very. I think that's a really excellent point.
Okay, so hopefully now that he's getting some corrections from some less tolerant adult dogs, that he will start to pick up. This kind of sounds like a horrible thing to say, but for me, having multiple generations in my house, and you'll hear other breeders say this, that there's nothing better than a good alpha bitch.
Yeah. Like
a good grandma dog, a good, mama dog, that they are teaching definite lessons and manners and giving very firm corrections, but they're still very appropriate. So they might be very vocal, but they're not making any contact with the puppy. So it's very appropriate. A puppy gets the message and says, aye, aye, lady, I gotcha. I'm being rude. But to help Leo with this, I actually, dealing with dogs is always cyclical. It's always a work in progress. And I will try and get a video. I've been noticing now that my youngest, Frankie, is 15 months old. She has started to develop this play style, particularly only with her uncle, that she constantly has her paws up on his back. This is rude and dominant. And she does not do it to her mother, interestingly. So, but she started to do this. I don't like it because I don't want her doing this to other dogs, because at some point she's going to do it to the wrong dog and the correction she's going to get from them might not be appropriate. So, to intervene during kind of play that's too rough or it's not reciprocal, so you don't see both dogs enjoying this, or an older dog is giving corrections and the younger dog is not respecting them, the best way to try and intervene with that is going to our backaways. We've talked about these before, that you are going to put a treat right by the nose of the younger dog or the dog that's not being polite. And so you're going to put a treat by their nose so that you can lure them. You're going to turn their little bodies towards you while you are taking steps backwards. So you're basically luring them away from the play, away from that interaction. And your voice is going to be very happy. Okay. It's just, hey, Leo, pop, 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 atta man, come over here. Then two fingers under the collar, saddle. Practice your saddle command for just like 5 seconds. Till his energy level goes down, then you release him back to play so that he gets the opportunity to try it again. And if he starts again with the launching at Sammy's head and just being a little too rude, a little too pushy, back away again, settle. So when we're doing this, we are not having a whole lot of vocalizations, and we are not having any kind of emotional outburst ourselves, because we don't want Leo to be thinking that he's a bad boy, that playing with Sammy is bad. We don't want him to think that he's being scolded. We're just going to interrupt temporarily the inappropriate play so that he can calm down for a second, and then he gets a chance to try it again. And if he makes the right choice, play gets to continue. If he starts to accelerate again and become rude and pushy, then you are going to intervene. And you are going to see a reaction from Sammy as well. Your yes. relationship with him is going to become closer, because he's going to be looking at you like, thank you, Caroline. Thank you for being referee. I really appreciate you having my back and helping me train this puppy.
Okay? Absolutely. Yeah. And absolutely. I think that that's an excellent strategy. I will totally implement that. One thing I foresee is also when I have tried to do something approximating this, as soon as a treat comes out, Sammy wants to know what he can do to be number one and earn the treat. And as you've mentioned, trying to train one dog is hard enough, two dogs is not possible. So should I have, first of all, a partner when I'm doing this, two people? And then what should the other person be doing with Sammy at that time while I'm luring Leo away?
So not necessarily two people. You will have to, you know, be multitasking and using both hands, but you can do this on your own. So when you are doing the lure in the back away with Leo, chances are Sammy's going to say, yeah, what do you have? I want one too. So have two treats. So you can be doing a back away with Leo in one hand and then showing Sammy, hey, I've got a treat over here. And then ask him, sit down, hand touch, something simple so that he's getting a chance to earn a treat as well. Okay. And once that's gone, once Leo's eaten his treat and you're just doing calm, settle, there's no treat involved anymore. So then chances are Sammy will go wander off and start engaging in something else.
Perfect. Right? Thank you so much.
And another thing that I have tried 5 times to get a video of this. I keep talking about it. It's really hard to get a good camera angle and have the tripod in the right spot. But for those of us with multiple dog households, a great exercise to do is that you're going to be practicing the name game, but it's basically you're teaching them to take turns. And so what you're going to do is you're going to have a handful of cookies and dogs are going to be around you in a semicircle. So initially what it might mean is that Sammy's over here and Leo's over here, so that they've got a good amount of distance between each other. And you're going to ask them to sit. And then you are going to say one dog's name and deliver that treat. Okay. You need to say their name before starting to offer that treat, because it's a heads up to the other dogs of, I'm saying Sammy. Sammy's about to get this treat. So that means nobody else should be getting up and trying to get this treat. Nobody should be getting up and getting rude and in Sammy's space. Okay. So you're basically teaching them to be respectful of each other and take turns. If you do get, while you're saying Sammy and starting to deliver that treat, if Leo starts to sneak over, then you just simply kind of do a body block. So you're just going to turn your body towards Leo. Just maybe take one step, kind of a lunge step, so that your knee and your body are kind of blocking his access. Dogs body block each other all the time, and you can control their space without a leash, without hands. That's a really good thing to practice with them, because they're working on, some self-modulation in proximity of each other, but it's still, we're training together good associations with the other dogs. Okay. So normally, yes, your training sessions, you want to train one dog at a time, but little things like that, where you are specifically working on pack dynamics. Yeah. You can do that together. Does that make sense?
That is fantastic. I'm so excited to try that. Thank you so much. That's awesome. Okay.
Yes. And the funniest ones, I have videos where it's hard to tell how to implement that correctly, but I have a couple videos of my friend doing this. And we had, I think at that point, the funniest video was 8 Ridgebacks and a Weimaraner and somebody else. So there were a total of 10 dogs, and she's like handing out treats in this big, almost a 360 of dogs sitting around her. It can be done.
Awesome. Okay.
All right.
I have one more question.
Absolutely. Go ahead. I'm checking my, okay, there we go.
Okay. I'm the one with the 10-week-old Aussie doodle. Uh-huh. I don't know what I was thinking. She's constantly nipping, and I know they're herding dogs. I once had a Pembroke Corgi, and I was able to break her of the herding. This one is attacking me. When I tell her to sit, she'll grab my arm and scratch me.
Okay.
But I have gotten her to sit. She's learned that one, but the constant biting and the nipping and the baby teeth and the baby claws, I'm all bruised up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So one thing as a temporary fix, which now that we're going into winter months is an easier thing to do, but
well, I live in Florida, so I'm
oh, okay. Well, but, okay. When we are planning on training sessions or playing sessions with our baby puppies while they're learning to have bite inhibition, wear long pants and long sleeves.
Well, she bites them too.
But at least then your skin is somewhat protected. Okay. So that's a quick and dirty, easy little thought. But the big thing with mouthing that we do suggest is the tagline that I talked about in the modules. And so the tagline for the mouthing and the biting is just, it's basically like a short 4-foot leash, but it doesn't have a handle. So it's like a drag line. And
I have her on that. Okay. I have her leash in the house, and I'm usually holding her. But, when she gets into that active stage and I take her out in the backyard and let her run and stuff, she's still the nipping and the biting on me.
Okay. So always have a toy with you.
Right.
Yeah. And put her down. Put her down. Unless you're having a snuggle session, put her down. She's a dog. When we're doing a lot of carrying and things like this, we are teaching some bad habits because they're not getting an opportunity to learn anything on their own, right? They're not getting a chance to make any choices. So put her down, let her be a dog. And really and truly, the only way you can do taglines effectively is if they are on the floor. So some other things as well, in addition to always having a toy, is for a lot of puppies, when we're having play sessions, don't sit on the floor.
No.
Right? No. We're easy picking. Right. We look like a litter mate if we're sitting on the floor. So you can be sitting in a chair, or you can be standing up and bending over with that tug toy. That's going to help. Also the tagline, and just making sure that you can be redirecting her and showing her toys or games that are appropriate ways that you want her to play with you, so that she's getting the message of, I can be tons of fun, but you need to behave appropriately. So if you start the herding and the nipping and the jumping up, guess what happens? You don't get attention. Okay.
Right.
So one of the other mantras that you haven't gotten to hear yet, Gail, but that I say frequently is, for jumping up behavior or for demanding behavior of demanding attention. Mm-hmm. A rule for us, especially door manners, that's the other one. A rule for us and for our house guests is no look, no talk, no touch, unless you have 4 paws on the ground. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of an easy little phrase and mantra that everybody seems to get. So often when we have puppy just turning into little demon spawn, we start pushing them away. We start saying, no, 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 stop, knock it off. And we're pushing them away. We are making a really exciting game for them.
Yeah. That's when she goes to nip.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now so I just pulled the leash away from me so she can't bite me.
So with the tagline, we're not holding the leash to hold puppy away, because again, that's us making a choice. They're not learning anything. We're just preventing them access to us. So with the tagline, what we're actually going to be doing is we just apply gentle, steady pressure straight up. So what you should see from your puppy is they kind of do this, okay? Uh-huh. Their paws are all on the ground. We are not jerking, we're not popping, and we're not stringing or hanging them up. It's just enough firm, steady pressure that you're going to see them do this.
Okay.
Chances are what that's going to do, it's going to be a little irritating, but it's also going to distract them. So they will spit out that pant leg or they will do whatever else. The second they do spit out the pant leg or stop biting on us is when you still hold on to the tagline, but you're going to release the pressure and say, good puppy, that's what we want. Excellent. And then you wait a couple seconds, maybe get that toy in play again. You're ready with your tagline, because then the next time they try it again,
okay,
they settle down. Good puppy. Excellent. Okay. A good sequence and cause and effect demonstration, visual demonstration, would be that video that I have on the Facebook page.
Okay.
And it's very easy to recognize because I'm wearing really obnoxious leopard print, like cheetah print pajama pants and tennis shoes, because I was trying to do everything to kind of tempt this puppy into getting my shoelaces, my pant legs, so that I could get a good training video for you guys. So it's an easy one to recognize because you're like, oh, okay.
That's the one. Okay. And our thing, collar or the other.
Flat buckle collar only when you are doing tagline. Flat buckle collar only.
Flat buckle collar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just a normal collar that's going to buckle or snap. It's not going to cinch and create tension and get smaller. We don't want any of those kind of collars with the tagline. Okay.
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 Thank you.
Absolutely. But yeah, go and watch the tagline video. The module that's on with the rest of your training modules on the Good Dog site. But then try and pop on that Facebook page and find that video. It's not very far down, I don't think. Gail, are you actually on that Facebook page already?
No. I couldn't open the session on my computer, so I'm on my phone.
Oh, okay. Well, if you find on Facebook, it's going to be Good Dog Puppy Program.
Okay.
And then you just do a request for membership because it is a closed private group just for us. And then one of us will approve you.
Okay.
And I will try and find that video and I'll just write a quick comment so that it's back kind of up at the top of the feed. Oh, there it is right there. Okay. Yeah. It looks like we... Last comment on that was 6 weeks ago. So,
okay.
I'll just do a quick comment. So that's back up in the feed at the top of the Facebook feed.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, that's done. All right.
I'll try all the.
What else is going on?
Okay. Can I, if there's someone who hasn't spoken, go ahead. We're going to do a bonus round. Okay. as far as lunging, goes, Generally, I kind of, you know, let him play in the back, and then we've kind of explored the front yard a little bit, you know, just to let him know what's out there. We kind of try to keep him within our yard and our neighbor on either side. Definitely on the leash, obviously, at that point. But he's just so excited about everything, you know, and he just wants to get there to everything. And so I've tried the be a tree technique with just, you know, planting. And then when he finally relaxes, or often I can get him to kind of sit now, like he's starting to get it, I think. So when it goes slack, then I move. And then if he lunges again, I just stop again, right? And then kind of, and so on.
So that's one of the methods you can do. What I have found that a lot of times, if we are just doing that, stop, start, stop, start, it's not that effective, because we're basically just kind of teaching puppy, wait a second.
Right.
And then we're going to go forward, and then you can lunge again and pull.
Right. That seems to be what's happening, is he's just like, okay, I sit and then I can go crazy.
Yes. Yes. So what seems to work a little bit better is that, yes, you, when you see puppies start to move out and they're putting tension in that leash, stop. Don't go with them, because that reinforces the behavior. So stop. And then at that point, call their name. If you get that little head to turn, excellent, good boy. Then turn around. Turn around, go the opposite direction.
Okay.
Right? Pat your leg, things like that to get their attention. A lot of times when we are first teaching leash manners, we as humans are so focused on a destination.
Right.
Where it should be the journey. Okay. So a lot of times my first leash walks with puppies, number one, they're in the house. I'm walking on leash politely is a hard concept for dogs. You're never going to see two dogs off leash walking in perfect tandem.
Right,
no, sure. There's always ebb and flow, one's ahead, one's behind. So it's a hard concept for them. So we should be cutting ourselves some slack. Practice it in the house where there are low distractions so that they can be successful. Hallways are great. Every time I'm staying in a hotel with a dog, we are taking full advantage of those hallways and practicing leash manners. Kitchen island. Dining room tables, those are all great as well, because you can keep the puppy between you and the table or the island. So that kind of teaches and helps them learn to be in that, in one spot. So practice in the house so that they have a concept where they can be successful and the distractions aren't super, super hard. And when you're outside, and you're going to be turning around, be thinking more about the journey, not the destination. So a lot of times our first leash training sessions outside, they're in the driveway and they might be 15 minutes long, but I don't ever make it off the driveway.
You might never go anywhere. Right. Yeah. Okay. Right.
And that's okay.
Because
from our modules, we can do other things for, you know, socialization kind of hikes, especially our adventure walks. Our adventure walks are going to be really good for puppies. And those are going to be off site, but they're also going to be off leash. So you're not on leash manners at that point.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. We've kind of got him cordoned off in the kitchen, you know, is kind of his domain at the moment. So we haven't really walked. I don't know whether to walk him into spaces he hasn't been in yet. You know what I mean? Whether those are going to be too interesting as well. He probably needs to get used to them first, right?
Well, yeah. And he doesn't have a concept of what leash manners are, right? I always do a lot of leash training in the house before we ever go walk on leash out in the neighborhood.
Right.
And quite frankly, in a way, I think leash walks are kind of overrated because we get so focused on, need to provide physical activity and exercise for the puppy. And so by default, then people start taking them for a walk and you're teaching them bad leash manners.
Uh-huh.
So we could be doing so many other things as far as
exercise.
Yes, yeah. In the backyard, uh-huh. With the lunge line, little training sessions, right. Playing tug, that are going to burn off energy and, you know, mental and physical energy, and also incorporating little social outings, mm-hmm. where it doesn't involve a leash. So mm-hmm. you can take puppy, take a fleece blanket, put the fleece blanket, throw blanket in the bottom of the shopping cart at Home Depot or Lowe's, go shopping.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Go shopping. Puppies in the cart. So even if they're not fully vaccinated, they're mm-hmm. totally safe. You're okay. not teaching bad leash manners. And right. anytime somebody comes over and says, oh, puppy, mm-hmm. you say, we're here for socialization.
Right. Have at it.
Feel free. You can pet, you can touch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? So in the bed of the cart, just mm-hmm. the main part of the cart. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll give that a shot. Thank you.
Sure. All right. And I have kept you guys long, but we're okay on time to go a little longer if anybody else has questions or concerns.
Can I ask one more if nobody's going? Our dog is quite, he's very quiet, which, you know, is both a good thing and bad in that he doesn't seem to let us know that he needs to go to the bathroom. So now, you know, so I don't know, it seemed like we had 3 days where he got it, the not peeing in the house. And we have a little bell over the doorknob thing to try to teach him to ring the bell if he has to go, which he's done a couple of times, but he hasn't, you know, needed to go. He just kind of rang the bell. So we took him out and nothing happened. Now I've noticed he kind of like stares at the door and that sometimes is a sign that it's time to go. But it's all this kind of quiet. So I'm in this state of kind of constant surveillance, which has taken over my life. Where I'm just trying to get, you know, I got one day on the book yesterday, you know, but then he peed this morning. So, yeah, just trying to figure this out, how to get him to give me a sign.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
so the opposite problem of our other woman here, who's got the dog who's being too loud.
He's being very vocal.
Yeah. All right.
So a couple things of your sequence with our potty trips outside. Mm-hmm. So taking them out on leash, which you're doing.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. If we have a successful potty trip,
mm-hmm.
then they've earned some freedom, whether it's out in the yard or back inside the house.
Uh-huh. Okay. If
they do not have a successful potty trip,
mm-hmm.
what we should really be doing is then puppy comes back inside and they go back in mm-hmm. their X-Pen or back in their crate.
Okay.
Because they have to do their chores first before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to send them a real clear message of like, oh, hurry up and do this stuff. Cause mm-hmm. then I get to play.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one consideration to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. with the bells, totally your personal choice. We mm-hmm. do always give people a little bit of feedback to think about the bells. Depending on the layout of your house or how noisy your household is, if we teach our dogs that is their only way to ask us for a potty trip,
mm-hmm.
sometimes we might not hear it. And then you've got
right.
a dog just sitting by the back door.
Yeah, waiting. Right.
Right. And they'll just potty by the back door because nobody's acknowledging them.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing to think about is when you travel, whether it's a hotel
or a
house, you want to bring the bells with.
Right.
If that's their only outlet that we've taught them of how to ask to go mm-hmm. out, that is the only method that they have. So we tend to say it's probably better that we teach our dogs to come find us.
Yeah.
Ask. That's more reliable. So that even if you're in the basement with the football game on super loud, they can still come find you, even if you can't hear the bells. So George, right now you've got baby dog. And so up until about 6 months of age, just be on the safe side, our responsibility to be providing those potty trips. It's our responsibility, like you are being hyper-vigilant and watching for any little nuance of a potential potty need.
Them
outside right away. But as you are starting to see puppy kind of just going and sitting and staring at you, or sitting by the back door and staring at you, you can start to shape that into a kind of more overt ask. What you would do is, if you see puppy sitting by the back door, you would say your command, whatever it is, of you need to go outside, you need to go potty. And chances are he's going to get a little excited and kind of perk up. You are going to take a couple steps backwards. Away from him, away from the door, while you're saying, really? Do you need to go potty? So hopefully that's going to entice him to take a couple steps towards you. So it's not an ask yet, but you're showing him the steps of how he's going to start getting better and better of coming in.
Of coming to me.
So you've taken a couple steps back. Hopefully he takes a couple steps towards you. So at that point, then you're not going to push your luck with a puppy-sized bladder. Then you say, oh, hey, good boy, let's go outside. Well, you pick him up, you snap on that leash, and you go out. So you're going to, he's going to develop his own personal ask style. Every dog is different. I have a dog like your puppy where she is super quiet and she's not a pushy girl. And so her ask is, it is pretty obvious, but it's completely quiet. But he will just come and sit directly in front of you. Just stare.
Yeah, he does that.
So she's not whining. She's not doing anything, but it is very apparent that she needs something. So kind of watch for what your puppy does. Some puppies will whine. Some will bark. Some will try to paw you. Some will spin in a circle. Some will do just happy feet and kind of stomp around. So whatever they start displaying is what you're going to encourage.
So maybe he does do that at times, that kind of like sit and stare at me. And I'm like, what do you want from me? So maybe I should I just kind of assume maybe for now that that means I have to go to the bathroom?
At this point in time, it's always when in doubt, take them out.
It's just a weird, quiet moment where it's, it feels strange, basically.
So, smart little booger. He's starting to try to figure out how to ask you.
How do I do it?
So when he does that, then definitely acknowledge him and ask, do you need to go potty? Take a couple steps back. He comes towards you. Let's go.
So if we've been, we haven't really been saying, you know, do you need to go potty inside? Like outside, we have been saying, you know, just telling him to go potty and kind of affirming the word potty, you know, when he finishes. And so I think he's learning the word. So then we can maybe bring that and say it inside now too. It's because been a couple weeks.
You've had a couple weeks of him getting treats of pottying outside. So he's getting the gist that it's more worth my while to go pee out there.
You don't get anything if you do it inside, I'll tell you.
So you're just not going to give him a very long time period of walking towards you or asking him. Ask, can you go potty? Back up. He backs up. All right, let's go, buddy.
Great. Thank you. I'll give that a shot.
Because as his bladder control matures and as you work on this shaping of the ask of him asking, you are going to start backing up further and further. So he's going to have to come he's going to have to span a greater distance to get to you.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. Gotcha. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Great. So he comes to me, I pick him up and it's like, oh, great. Like you came to me. Yes. You took the trip.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but that will be in the weeks and months to come.
Yeah, I know. Won't be tomorrow.
As his sphincter control increases and develops. So,
God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. I have kept you very long today, but great questions. And so just a reminder, no coaching call next week, but we'll have two the following week. Questions or concerns in the meantime, always feel free to email me. That's puppyprogram@gooddog.com or on the Facebook page. All right.
Great. Thanks so much.
Guys. Happy training. We'll catch you later.